Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
This morning we want to take a kind of step aside out of a defining moments. I want to talk to you about summer stretch. And really, this message this morning takes us back to the beginning of the year in a series that we did entitled Stretch Out. Stretch Out is the theme for the year. We've been praying Acts chapter 4, verse 30 through the year thus far. I hope you've been praying for that. But just to remind us, I want us to look at Acts chapter 4, verse 24 through 31. Actually, we're going to go beyond 31 this morning as we spend this time together. Scripture says this, "And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them? Who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness." Verse 30, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. How many know there's power in the name of Jesus? "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." I want us to return this morning to this text, not because I'm going to preach a message that I preached in January, though there's elements to the message that are the same, but I want to go to this text this morning because I want to talk to you about a summer stretch, a seven-week period through this summer where I'm praying, God, stretch out your hand, but also may we stretch ourselves out before you in various ways. So through the next 7 weeks, that we would see God stretch out his hands in powerful ways. As beginning tomorrow, as the high schoolers go to a week of camp, and then a couple weeks later, the middle schoolers will go, and then a week later, after that, the kids will go to kids' camp. But that God would stretch out his hands to those students as they gather at camp, as they remove themselves from the norm of social media, from the norm of just living, and they set apart to be in God's presence, to be with people that will speak into their lives. Oh God, that you would stretch out your hand. But for you parents that have kids going to camp, I want to challenge you as well that you would stretch out your hand in this, because your kid may come back from camp and they may say, I feel like God has called me to do whatever. I feel like God has called me to be a missionary in Zimbabwe. How would you respond if your kid came home and they said that to you? Never thought of that. Think about it. What if God, your kid comes home from camp and they feel like God has called them to ministry. Are you okay with that? I remember coming home from a winter retreat, and back in the day, I wanted to be a Miami Vice narcotics officer. I wanted to be an airline pilot, though I can't see very well, so that could have been really scary. And I wanted to do some form of social work. Ministry was never on my radar, really, but I came home, I went to a camp, and God just began to start to speak to me personally, but also use some other people to speak into my life. And I can remember coming home and sitting at the kitchen table for dinner with my parents, and just like going, well, I guess I'm just going to throw this out there and see how it lands. A little sheepishly, I was like, hey, they're like, hey, Steve, how was winter retreat? I said, oh, it was awesome. I feel like God's calling me to ministry. And I didn't know how my dad was going to respond. My dad responded this way. You know, Mom mentioned that she could see you doing that just the other day. How are you going to respond if your kid comes home from camp and says, I believe that God is asking me to be a medical doctor? How are you going to respond? You're like, oh, I like that. Nice car, huh? You going to take care of me? How are you going to respond? Because you need to enlarge your perspective and be open to what God would call them to. Because unfortunately, I've seen parents squash some things that God was calling their kids to and hinder them in that. All right, let's go on. I'm meddling now. That God would stretch out his hands in next Sunday service, Sunday morning, Sunday night service. As we typically don't do a Wednesday or a Sunday night service, but we're going to be having special services next Sunday night. God, stretch out your hand. Do something unique. Do something out of the ordinary. Opportunity, God, that you would stretch out your hand, but also that we would stretch out our hand with some crazy generosity in the coming days. God, that you would stretch out your hand with Convoy of Hope, that as we are serving our community through that event and people are going through the prayer tent, Lord God, Holy Spirit, that you would stretch out your hand, that you would show up as we're praying for people from our community, and God, that they would just like, they would be impacted and confronted with the reality of the living God. God, stretch out your hand. As we visit Acts 4 this morning, we see an example of a church that God blesses, that as they stretch towards God, God stretches towards them. They stretch towards each other. They stretch towards the needs that are around them. And they see God move in powerful ways. And so the big idea this morning, if you're taking notes, is this. If we don't stretch, we won't see. It's that simple. In Acts chapter 3 and 4, if I could just summarize it for us real quick. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are heading to the temple to go to a time of prayer. It's their daily practice. It's their routine. And on their way there, they encounter a man who goes there daily. He's crippled. He's paralyzed. He's been that way since birth. He's in his 40s. And they pray for him. He's miraculously healed. People see that healing. People are watching what's happening. And the crowds begin to gather. Peter preaches Christ and the power of the name of Christ. Over 5,000 people come to faith in Christ that day. And the result of that is Peter and John are warned, hey, by the Jewish council, do not preach in the name of Jesus any longer. Be quiet. And as all that's going on, the believers are praying. And God stretches out his hand in even greater ways. And so over the next several minutes, if I can keep it that way and not carry into hours, in this passage, I want you to see, and I think that you see it in Acts 2 and you see it elsewhere in the book of Acts, but I want to give you four marks of a church that God blesses. The first mark is this. It's a church that prays. I know you're like, oh, Steve, you talk about this all the time, but here it goes again, right? The first mark that you see in a church that God blesses is a church that's marked by prayer. I was so beside myself. Monday evening, I received a text from Pastor Levi, and he was like, hey, I have some family needs that I need to tend to Tuesday morning, some appointments, but I just got contacted by one of the students that want to come up here Tuesday morning with some other students. They want to pray and they want to seek the face of God. Are you going to be around? How do you respond to that? And I was like, well, I'm kind of booked up, but man, yeah, send them in. And if they paint graffiti on the walls, then we'll talk. But so they came, and I happened to walk through here after I was in between some things, and I walked through, and they're in here praying. And I tell you what, man, to see students gathering on a Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. to call upon the face of God, oh, God, stretch out your hand as they stretch out their faith to you. I want God's blessing on LifePoint Church. I want God's blessing on your life. And I have found the easiest thing to forsake or leave out of our life is a lifestyle of prayer. And so here we visit this quickly again this morning. We've seen the blessing of God on the life of this church throughout its history, throughout the 7.5 plus years that Robin and I have been here. I look at graphs, I look at timelines, and during timelines where there's seasons of prayer, there's this evidence of God's presence and God's power and God moving during those seasons. And I'm like, oh God, I want that all the time. It's not accidental when stuff like that happens. It's the result of people calling on God. It's the hand of God moving as a result of people crying out to Him. That's the power of prayer. And if you and I will do the hard work of prayer, because how many know prayer is hard work? Amen? I mean, let's be real. There's times where I'm like, I don't want to pray right now. I'm tired. I don't want to pray right now. I have too many things going through my mind. That's when you need to pray, Steve. The rest, when we do the hard work of prayer, the rest of life is picking up the results from it. I truly believe that God is doing some things right now. I don't say that to hype anything up, but at times this year, whether it's been in the context of services or it's been in my own prayer times or it's just been as I've been walking the facility thinking about things that are going on, the presence of God is so strong, and there's this hunger that I sense growing amongst you but also amongst the people of God across our community, across our city, across our state, across the nation, and globally. I don't think that we have any idea of the things that God wants to do or what He can do. As we seek the Lord and pray, those things will only become clear. And I get it isn't always easy to get to a prayer meeting. Some of them aren't held at convenient times. How many know? But come when you can and pray all you can. Some things only happen when we pray, Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 29. And the greatest thing we can do is pray. Because prayer energizes us, it protects us, it moves us beyond anything that we can do on our own. Let me tell you, as a nation, the greatest thing that we can be doing right now, above any law that would be passed or whatever, is to pray. Because if we try to do things and maintain things in our own strength, we'll fail. We got to pray. God multiplies our efforts through prayer. Through prayer, we get favor put upon our life. I mean, I just stop and I pause, and I could share with you example after example from our own life as we've prayed for our family, as we've prayed for our kids, and it's just like, it's just amazing. Acts chapter 4, verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief and the priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. It's amazing to me. They hear that they've been warned they're not to preach anymore. What's their response? They pray. What's interesting is Peter and John could have just went home and prayed by themselves. They could have went home and hid and licked their wounds and said, oh no, what are we going to do? But they don't do that. Where do they go? They go to the church. Why? Because they know the church is praying. And your own personal time with the Lord is absolutely essential. And I plead with you, have those times. You may not hit it every day, but that being your ambition, that, man, 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes a day, God, I just want to be in your presence. If you're like, Steve, I don't know about coming to a prayer service because I have little kids, and little kids disrupt, and little kids interrupt, and little kids are just little kids. You know what? There's nothing that I would rather have your little kids see you do than calling on the Lord in prayer. And seeing you pray and seeing the church pray, so bring them. I can remember when our boys were little and we were having a Sunday evening prayer time, and I was just, I like to walk and I like to pace when I pray. So I'm just up and I'm walking and I'm pacing, you know, I'm just calling on God, and I look around and all of a sudden there's little Caleb. And Caleb, you know, he was this tall and he was a chunky little kid back in the day, and he was just walking behind me, just praying. I was like, man. You know, so they're either going to learn to pray or they're going to get a good nap. Either way, it's a good thing, right? And as you look at Acts chapter 4, you see that this was a corporate prayer. The church got together and they prayed. And you see this all throughout the book of Acts. Let me illustrate it for you this way. In Acts chapter 12, verse 1, about the time Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. Let me ask you a question. What was the intent of Herod with Peter? The intent was that he was going to kill Peter. That was his intent. Why didn't that happen? The church was praying. Now, if you look at that, I think it's only natural that you would ask the question, well, were they not praying for John? We don't know. But what we do know is that God orchestrated a jailbreak. And I want to submit to you, it happened because the church was praying. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. The early church was a church that prayed. It was born in a prayer meeting. They devoted themselves to pray. When things were good in Acts chapter 3, they prayed. When things were tough and they were first facing persecution, they prayed. It was what they were known for. Next thing I just want, when you look at this prayer in Acts 4, it's a biblically centered prayer. I won't talk long on this, but you know, how many know, sometimes a good prayer and the only prayer that you can pray is, "Dear Jesus, help me." Because you don't know what else to pray. And that's okay. That's a good prayer. But I want to encourage you and I want to stretch you and I want to call you to use Scripture to pray. To pray the promises. To pray the Word of God as you're calling out to Him. Because it'll build your faith as you pray. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise." As you're praying, we're thanking Him. You're praising Him. You're thanking God because of what He's done, but you're praising Him for what for who He is. It would look like this: God, I praise You. I praise You that You're faithful to me. I look over the course of my life and I see Your faithfulness. I see Your faithfulness to my family. I see Your faithfulness in my health. I see Your demonstration of provision in my life. God, I thank You that for Your protection. I saw Your protection over my life last week or in this conversation. God, I thank You that You're a healer. And as I do that, guess what happens? God gets bigger. My problem gets smaller and my faith grows stronger. I see it happen all the time in my life. Look at this as they prayed in Acts chapter 4, verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of Your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against His anointed one." Do you see the confidence by which they're praying? I mean, it's all over that. They know that God isn't taken back or He's not surprised by the situation that they're encountering. They know that God is in control. They're quoting Psalms chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 here. It goes on, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable Your servants to speak Your word with great boldness." They aren't praying that the problem would go away. They're praying for God to show His power in the midst of the problem. "God, stretch out Your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of Your holy servant, Jesus." Not through us, God, but through Your name. They're being told, don't speak or do things in Jesus' name, but the church is saying, give us boldness and show Your power. It's a life-changing prayer. You see it in verse 31, and they prayed. The place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled constantly, continually filled Why? Why is that so important? It's so important because you leak with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. What are you, let me ask you this morning, what are you asking God for? Unfortunately, I think if we're not careful, we don't ask God for big things. We just pray kind of surfacey type prayers. And unfortunately, we may not see big things happen because we're not asking for big, audacious things. Or if they do, or if we do, maybe it's on a whim and it's not consistent. Let me just say this to you this morning. Your prayer is prophetic. When you're praying, you are speaking into, you're praying for the future, right? You're praying, and you're moving. It can be prophetic. I encourage you to do this. We have 7 months left in the month of 2022, in the year of 2022, right? Maybe you have a prayer list. I wish I would have done this at the beginning of the year. I didn't, but I want to encourage all of us to make a prayer list for the remainder of this year. What breakthrough do you need to see? Who do you know that needs to come to the Lord? Where do you see God needing to move in your home, in your neighborhood, in your family? And write those things down and begin to pray them, begin to speak to them, begin to petition the Lord on the behalf of those individuals that are far from God. Listen, God isn't a respecter of persons, is he? No, he's not. He will work in your life. What did the church ask for in Acts chapter 4? They asked for boldness. What happened? Verse 31, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. They asked for miracles. Look what happened in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Acts chapter 3, there's one person that gets healed. In Acts chapter 5, many are healed. Verse 15, as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall upon some as they passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. There were wonders. I mean, how many know angels opening a prison cell would be a wonder? Supernatural things were happening in the lives of these Jesus followers. They are praying and God is working. How did that happen? Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And they prayed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll be diving into that next Sunday as Ty Buckingham's here. But filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the power source. It's not just about speaking in tongues, though that would be evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit according to Scripture, but how many know power is like the ultimate confirmation? When you see God do these incredible things, and when you have opportunity to pray, then pray. Come and pray. Go for a walk and pray. Journal and pray. The second mark of a church that God blesses is a mark of that of unity. All the believers were in one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions as his own was his own, but they shared everything they had. One heart. In the Greek, it's homo thermomadon, where we would get that of same thermometer, that of the same temperature. So same passion, same temperature spiritually. They were one heart and passion. They were of one mind and thinking. Unity exists when we value the same thing. It's not just a doctrinal statement, though doctrine's important. It is talking about a value system. We're moving toward the same goal as we talk about investing in generations to influence community, as we look at the vision statement of being a church that's authentically pursuing God and engaging each other and impacting our community. Man, I'm thankful for our unity that we have. There is not a day where I'm not overwhelmed with gratitude for that. I don't take that for granted. I'm grateful that we set aside personal preferences for the greater good. How many know working that little device on the wall is challenging? Because half the room is going, oh, it's so cold, bring my parka. Another half of the room is going, it's so hot, turn it down. How many know it's good when you have both people saying both things? Hey, we're doing all right. We got it right, because it's good. I mean, it's tough, but those, I mean, I'm being silly, I'm being facetious, but personal preferences aside, who cares about the paint at the end of the day? Who cares about the color of carpet at the end of the day? Who cares if the music's not loud enough or too loud? At the end of the day is the presence of Jesus here. That's what we want. There are some things not worth getting worked up over. How many know, as they say, you go into marriage with both eyes wide open, and after a little bit of time, you learn to close one. Right? The result of unity is that there's this anointing of the Lord, and it comes upon a place. And Psalms 133, verse 1 and 3, talks about the beauty of unity. Unity brings blessing. The third thing we learn is that there is powerful preaching, and not just preaching felt needs. They're not just preaching a topical message, though that's necessary at times. But nothing will transform a life as the Word of God, rightly divided, will transform a life. There's something powerful about this Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says this, since you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living an abiding word of God. Look at what happens in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. With great power, it's in the Greek, it would be mega dunamis. It's mighty supernatural power. It's used 10 times in the book of Acts. The apostles continue to testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So they're preaching scripture. They're testifying of what they saw, but also what Scripture proclaimed. And it says, much grace. It's that word much is the same word as great. It's mega grace was upon them all. The power upon the preaching brought the power, brought the empowering of the people. And that is the benefit of empowered and anointing preaching. I mean, every time, you know, on Sunday mornings, throughout the week, I study on Tuesday. So, man, put it on your prayer list on Tuesday. Lord, as Pastor Steve studies today for the message, Lord, I pray that you'd anoint him. When you get ready for church on Sunday morning, God, I need to hear from you. God, I pray that Steve, you know, sometimes he can ramble a little. Don't say that. God, I just pray for your anointing because I need to hear from you today. I know I've heard this before, and we're fully aware of how some people feel about preaching. Why do you go to church every Sunday and sit there for an hour and a half, an hour and however long, and listen to some guy talk about a book that was written a long time ago and about people you never know? I mean, that just seems like a waste of time. That seems foolish. I love what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. God, I need you to speak to me today. Speak to me through your word. And the fourth thing the fourth sign of a church that God blesses is out of generosity. Verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. Everything they had. I want you to notice something right at the beginning of that passage of Scripture. It's the word all. There's nothing wrong if it's just a few, but there's something supernatural when it's all. As I look at the generosity of LifePoint, I'm amazed. As I look at missions giving, the fact that we're sending 45 kids to camp, and all they had to do was pay their $30 registration fee. I look at that generosity and I'm humbled, I'm amazed, I'm proud, I'm excited. A couple times a month, I get a message from Pastor William from Soacha, Colombia. Got one this week with some pictures. And he has some pictures, and there's people gathering, and he was like, man, we're praying for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this is he said last Sunday or in the last couple weeks anyway, were the first Sundays that we were able to go to church and not wear masks. And we have it so rough, right? And he's just like, but God is doing something. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your support. It blesses my family, and it's helped our church. And it all flows through you all. Your generosity allows us to support him and his wife monthly. Your generosity in missions is letting us increase our monthly support to our missionaries in the middle of global inflation. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. Your generosity, as I've said already, is sending 45 kids to camp. Your generosity is going to provide backpacks full of school supplies to kids, to families, when we do the Convoy of Hope in July. Now lean in a little bit, because it gets better. And talking about generosity, there's a family in our church that came to me, a couple months ago, I guess it's been, and said, listen, we want to give a sizable amount of money, like sizable, so that we can purchase new chairs for our sanctuary. Because these chairs are re-welded. Some of them might as well be duct taped and baling wire put together and whatnot. And we want to see them replaced. And so we started doing some pricing. And I was like, oh, man, that's so crazy generous. But the price of new chairs is like, man, we need... We need more. And so I was talking to someone the other day, just talking about what's happening in Valley Center and the growth that's expected to come to our community and talking about some things that God is doing, just that we see him doing, but also things that are before us. And I mentioned this chair thing and he was like, hey, let me help you out. And he grabbed his checkbook and he wrote a huge check. And I say all that to say this. How many of you are ready for a firm seat? Let me say this, lest you would say, chairs, really? Each chair represents a soul. It's not about a chair. It's not about paying off. I mean, who cares if we can burn a mortgage if the presence of God isn't here and people are being transformed? Who cares? But if our community is getting ready to grow substantially, how many know? You got to get ready. I said, you got to get ready. And each chair represents a soul. That's how I'm looking at it. Each chair represents a soul coming to Valley. And maybe right next to you is an empty chair. That chair needs to be filled. Steve, are you trying to grow a megachurch? Absolutely not. I could care less. But I do care about who's going to heaven. And I do care about rescuing people from hell. Because both of those places, last time I checked, are for eternity. And so if someone can fill a chair, then I want them in the chair. If it's so each chair represents a soul, each chair represents a family, beginning a spiritual legacy. Each person in a chair maybe is of a family that isn't beginning a spiritual legacy like my family is. It's they've been in a legacy and they just want to see it passed on. And so that's going to be happening, and you know, hopefully in the next month you'll be sitting in something different, and don't you dare say, I don't like the color. Because it won't please everybody, and that's all right. Here's the huge ask this morning, okay? During the summer stretch, the 7 weeks that we're stepping into, we want to stretch generosity in this way. I've sat in elders' meetings. I've sat in a ton of different meetings just having this conversation. And we've been open about it. We have, because of your generosity, we've like in crazy way have knocked out a ton of our mortgage debt. I mean, we are way, way, way ahead. And again, it's not about saying, hey, we paid off our mortgage, but we have $58,000 remaining on our mortgage. Okay, that's nothing. And we're believing, I'm believing for a mega, supernatural above and beyond the norm offering to knock it out in the next 7 weeks. And you're like, Steve, did your mom like not teach you anything? Do you understand how much gas is? I filled up my Honda yesterday. Got to fill up my pickup truck today. I'm riding my bike tomorrow. Right? Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, I've fought it. I've tried to talk myself out of it. I've had others try to talk me out of it. But I've seen God, through crazy generosity, cover the price of chairs. So why not? As you read through the book of Acts, you see it happening here in Acts chapter 4. You see God moving on people's hearts to meet needs. There isn't forced action happening. There isn't manipulation happening. There won't be forced action happening here or manipulation happening here. If you're a guest today, let me just put you at ease. Very rarely do we talk about money. Oh, I went to one of those churches and all they want my money. No, we want you. We want God to do a work in you. As you look in Acts 4, these people are simply making themselves available to the Lord and following the Lord's leading and are willing to sell. In this case, Barnabas in Acts chapter 4 was willing to sell fixed assets to meet needs. Generosity doesn't just do the minimum. Generosity allows itself to be stretched. And in my home, Robin is the one that's crazy generous. I'm kind of the one that's like, you know, I could probably use that. And so she stretches me, and we talk through stuff and we work it out. But between now and July 24th, a 7 week stretch, all right, I'm asking you to go above and beyond and simply do this. This is my ask of you. I'm asking you to go to your Heavenly Father and ask God, God, what would you have me to do to help accelerate reaching the community? Because at the end of the day, you guys, listen, look here. At the end of the day, again, it's not about paying off a mortgage. God's not going to be in heaven going, I think being out of debt's a good thing. I mean, we strive to do that. Robin and I strive to do that. You know, we have a mortgage payment, I don't see myself, you know, winning the lottery because I don't play the lottery to take care of it. But look, at the end of the day, it's about positioning ourselves to win the lost and to do things that will help us speak into their life. And if we can remove that $56,000to be able to dump money and resources into the opportunity to do that even more effectively than we're doing it now, then we need to be willing to say, I'm for that. I'll stretch to be a part of that and see what God does. And you know what? At the end of the day, knowing the amount that it is and knowing the church, or the size of our church, to July 24th hits, I'll know this, that if we're able to write a check for $58,000 and send it to the bank, I'll know this, that we just saw something supernatural happen. Because to my knowledge, there's not a millionaire in the room. There could be. And that, if there is, awesome. But what I do know is that Acts chapter 4, whatever, 32 or 35, it said all. And when all do all together, supernatural things happen. And so whether your best is like, your stretch is, man, $50 right now is like a huge stretch for me. Awesome. That's cool. If $5,000 is a stretch for you, if $20,000 is a, listen, you will get a letter from me tomorrow. Just talk, because I knew there'd be a bunch of people that aren't here. And it's just summarizing what we've just talked about. A lot shorter than what I just took to do all this. Because I wanted people to read it. But anyway, so on your chair this morning, the worship team would come. There's an envelope that just has your name and your QR code if you'd rather do it online. I'm not asking you to do it today. I mean, maybe you are sitting here today and you're like, oh man, God has just like spoke to me and there is no way that I can deny it. I know that it was him and he's asked me to do this much and I'm going to do it today. Then that's cool. But in the next 7 weeks, just seek the Lord, pray, and listen, and then respond. That's all I ask you to do. Pray and respond. If God says, man, not now, you have other stuff, you know, that I've asked you to focus on, then do that. But if you know that he knows, you know that he's spoken, then just respond. If you're like, hey, I have this number, it's big, I can't do it all in one shot, then break it up. Or do it all, hold it and give whatever. Just listen. At the end, I'll just shut up. Be obedient, okay? Respond. Be open. Stretch. Say, God, I'm part of the all. I mean, this is above and beyond our normal giving, obviously. And God, I just want to see you move, man. I want to be able to sit down with my neighbors and say, I saw God do this. I want to be able to sit down with my family, with my grandkids, and say, I didn't have a lot to give, and it was scary to give what I gave, but I responded in obedience, and I saw God do this. Robin and I have story after story from our life when we've done that. And you know what? You can't tell me. No one could tell me that there's not a God in heaven that will meet me where I'm at and meet my needs. Because I've seen him do it over and over. Father God, this morning, it's a holy moment, and I know I've gone long yet again. But God, we need you to stretch out your hand and do miraculous things, signs and wonders and salvations. God, Lord, would you do that? Do it in our lives, do it through our lives. Not so that we can say, look at us, but so that we can say to people, look at Jesus. God, we want to stretch out our hands and just be generous. Lord, not just with our finances, Lord, though that's part of it. God, we want to be generous with our time. God, we want to be generous with our words. Proverbs tells us that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. God, we want to be generous. So, Lord, I pray, God, as we step into this summer stretch, we're not going to talk about this every week. We're not going to, you know, be banging on people's doors or sending out letters every day or anything like that. But, God, we just want to be strategic. We want to be timely, and we want to be responsive to what you're asking us to do. And that all of us, Lord, would be in the game, and all of us would respond. If LifePoint's our home church, then we would say, okay, Lord, I want to listen, and I want to respond to you because you're so faithful to me.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.